All right, we're going to get into the second segment now. And this young lady has been really making waves the last few years, but she's been doing this a long time. In fact, she was born into the music business as the daughter of the great Chicago bluesman Johnny Copeland. I'm talking about Shamika. Shamika Copeland was on this show about maybe a little less than a year ago. And she had just won the Album of the Year with America's Child. What a strong album that was. And, you know, sometimes you hear a great album, you say, gosh, are they going to be able to top that? Well, I hate to say it, but she did. America's Child was my favorite album in the blues last year, and hands down. And Shamika has now given us another one. And again, it's called Uncivil War. And one of the things I like about Shamika, and I want to talk to her about, is the fact that she addresses so many important topical issues. And on this one, it's talking all about what we saw unveil on our TV screens with rioting and the marching and the peaceful protesters and all the different things that fell together. But she doesn't preach. She just offers options. At least that's my take on what she's going to do or what she's doing with her music. And I'll ask her about that in just a moment. But before we get to the hit single, the first single, the one that's really creating waves, which is the title track, Uncivil War, let's take another song that is, in my opinion, powerful. And while this is playing, we're going to see if we can get Shamika on the phone. This one is track two off her newest album, Uncivil War, which just came out on Alligator Records. And it's called Walk Until I Ride. And we're going to play this, and we'll be right back at you, hopefully with Shamika on the phone.
Clouds opened up, rain pouring from the sky. I'm in the air, trying to flag a ride, but the cabs don't go to my part of town. They just passing me by, not even slowing down. So I'm gonna walk until I ride. I'm gonna keep my head held high. They can try to take my freedom, they can't take my pride. I'm gonna walk, walk, walk until I ride. For in the morning, my baby child was crying. Fever he had kept on burning high. Grab the phone, when I told them where I lived, I knew they wouldn't come. So I'm gonna walk,
I'm gonna walk
until I ride,
until I ride.
Keep my head,
I'm gonna keep
held way high.
High,
take my freedom,
take my pride.
I'm gonna walk, 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 walk until I ride. We're walking for the poor, the hopeless and the hungry, and those who have no joy. We're walking for the refugees and those who have no home, for every single living soul who feels so all alone. We're gonna walk. Reach out and take my hand. We're in this together till we reach the promised land. We gonna keep on walking till our shoes wear out, until we reach salvation and you can hear a shout. We gonna walk,
until we ride.
Thank you.
That's a song that's going to wake you up physically, socially, mentally, emotionally. That is new stuff from Shamika Copeland. She has been a guest on this show in the past, and I didn't think she could make a better album than her Americans album that she had about a year ago that has won her so many different awards and accolades. And I got to say that America's Child was a great album. It was still one of my favorites, but I think it's been unthroned by this one, Uncivil War. What an amazing collection. She just keeps getting better and impressing more and more with every release, every record, every performance. I am proud to welcome to our show again once more, Alligator recording artist Shamika Copeland. Shamika, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Last time you were with us, we were talking about America's Child, and in fact, we had to cut it a little bit short because your own child was requiring your needs. So I remember that. We did an evening show, and this time we decided to put you on in the afternoon when hopefully your mom duties are a little bit less. But
he's in school right now, so.
Very good. And that's a worrisome thing, too, these days, whether you go to school or don't go to school, and It's challenging times, to say the least, and you have tapped into them with this album. Of course, a few weeks ago, we debuted Uncivil War, the single, but I wanted to wait until we got the full album in front of us to welcome you back. And that song is a mover and a shaker, and when I hear that, it makes me think of John Lewis.
Yeah, I think he would probably like that song.
He was a mover.
Yeah, you talk about a guy who was, you know, trying to promote peace and equality. You know, he would have loved that song.
What was his famous line? Let's get in the way.
Yeah.
Instead of get out of the way, let's get in the way and make a difference.
Yeah.
You are making a difference with your music. And as I don't know if you were listening prior, but one of the things before we played that song that I said, you address such topical issues. You are a woman of color. You are living in the same society we are today. You're seeing everything unveil. Yet you are not preaching per se. You are offering options. You are putting everything out there in your music and letting people decide. Like, look, here's what's going on. And I respect that because you're just presenting the case and you're letting people, hopefully their good judgment, understand what's happening. And when you write songs like Uncivil War, when you're doing songs like Walk Until I Ride, what's going on in your head as a composer, as a performer?
Well, as a performer, I didn't want to sing Uncivil War because I just thought that someone with a pretty voice to sing it.
Really?
I never thought of myself as having a pretty voice, and I really wanted everyone in the world to hear that song. And I thought, gosh, you know, if we give this song to somebody that has a pretty voice, you know, more people will hear it. And they told me that I was being crazy and just to be quiet and sing the song. And so I did, but I just felt like it needed to be put out here, especially in the way that it was. We got to quit fighting the same fights we've been fighting for, you know, hundreds of years. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And I work with great writers. I mean, I'm not a great writer myself. I always say there's a difference between songwriters and people who write songs. Well, I can write a song, but I'm not a great songwriter. I mean, I attribute that to Will Kimbrough and John Hahn.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I just felt like these songs needed to be put out here. and I'm glad that we're doing it. I'm glad it came out. It's crazy to me because we finished the record at the end of last year, and no one ever thought we'd be in the shape we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
Oh, my God. And I can't believe how relevant this album is.
So I thought this was written while you were, like, watching all the protests and the things that were going on the street. This was actually done prior to that?
It was done prior to. Isn't that something?
That is. You know? It's like you're psychic in a way, too.
Well, some would probably say psycho, not psychic. we tapped into something here. We had no idea all this would happen.
That's amazing. It has become the soundtrack, in my opinion, of this last year, this crazy roller coaster that is 2020. This album has so many different references that I can't get over the fact you had this written and done before then. Go ahead.
It's funny. I've always been the type of person to say that if I'm going to make a record, I hope that if the world ended and somebody found it, they would know what was going on in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's the case with this record, just like with America's Child. You know, people would know what was going on in the world if they found this record, you know,
right,
100 years from now, you know.
The song Americans is probably the most played song. I have an internet channel that I do in addition to doing NPR, and that song plays at least once or twice a day because I feel people need to hear it because it plays. I have a record store, and we play it through the speakers on the street, and you never know who's walking by because that song addresses every different diverse kind of personality and person and ethnicity and gender identification in the world. I mean, you just call it out. It's just amazing, that song. And I think that one also is powerful. This album seems like they could have been released together. It's almost like it's a double album. Yes.
Yeah. Well, we'll just call it the continuation.
All right.
Because that's kind of what it feels like to me, too. The continuation. But, and as long as, you know, we're in the world that we're in, you know, it's going to continue.
Right.
Because, I mean, I feel like in order for any music to evolve and grow, you have to talk about what's happening, you know, and not be afraid of that. And so I love doing what we're doing. It's great.
Speaking of albums growing, you started with Alligator. I want to say you were 17 when you signed with them in 97, 98. Debut album, Turn Up the Heat, came up, and you became instantly well-known on the blues scene. Of course, you were already known through your dad, but you really stepped out with that, and you've been going forward in leaps and bounds ever since. When you look back at 18-year-old Shamika and that first album, and then you see where you're at now, what goes through your head, your evolution, if you will?
Oh, my gosh. Just so much growth. I mean, I started out as a kid, and now I'm a grown woman. It's so much growth, so much learning. It's just been a wonderful ride. And I got to tell you, it went by so fast. It's really a blur.
Right. Life does that.
It's a blur. Huh?
Life does that.
Yeah, it's a blur. And I keep telling myself I want to be more present for the next 20 years because the last 20 just flew by like it was nothing. And I guess when you're out on the road traveling and running around and all of this stuff, it's like, whoa. I mean, I remember this year of my life. You know, it's almost like I remember my life after I had my child.
Right.
But before, well, when I was starting from when I got pregnant with my baby, I remembered that, and then it's like my life started all over again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a blur. So much has gone on. People tell me what I've done, and then I'm like, whoa, I did that? Like, you know.
Wow.
And it's incredible.
America's Child came out the end of 19. Of course, you just started to get promotion going on that. Surprisingly, you did so amazing with it because you didn't really get to get out there on the road behind it for very long. And now with this album, we're still in the thick of it all, and they're still saying that tours aren't going to happen until at least the end of 2021 on any significant scale. Maybe a show at Buddy Guy's or something like that, but we're not looking at any tours for a long time. You have released two of your best albums, two of the best albums of this time era, and you're doing well with them, but how are you planning to promote this one to get the most bang for it?
I guess a lot of social media. I mean, I have no idea. This is very, very strange. For the first time in over 20 years, I'm making a record, and I can't get out on the road and perform it for the people. And I got to tell you, that is it's bittersweet. It's bittersweet. So I'm going to do a lot of checking in with people on through social media, website stuff, and I just hope that people are home now so that they can take time to sit and listen to the record, because that's our only choices now.
Right. Well, let's let them listen to the single we were talking about in case they missed it last couple of times. I played it over the weeks since it's come out. Let's do Uncivil War, which is the title track, and then we're going to come back and talk about that song and the amazing support you had on it in the studio in making it. So this is Uncivil War. It's new stuff. Title track, Alligator Records with Shamika Copeland, and we'll be back with Shamika after this.
Uncivil war, uncivil war, how long must we fight this uncivil war? Same old wounds we opened before, nobody wins in uncivil war. Drawn, gloves are off, smiles are gone, we're all talking tough. You curse me out and I curse back. Everything we love is under attack. The spirits are back in rags, blue and gray. Thought they were gone, but they won't go away. Uncivil war, uncivil war, how long must we fight this uncivil war? Same old wounds we opened before, nobody wins in uncivil war. Sure you're right, I'm sure you're wrong. Why can't we all just get along? You yell fake and I yell real. Nobody seems to care how the other guy feels. Keeping count of each other's sins. Only problem is nobody wins. An uncivil war, uncivil war. How long must we fight this uncivil war? Same old wounds we opened before. Nobody wins in uncivil war. house empty, we all took a walk. He says left, and she says right. One says peace, the other says fight. One hand's a palm, the other's a fist. Another chance for love, just got missed. Uncivil war, uncivil war. How long must we fight this uncivil war? Same old wounds we opened before. Nobody wins. Uncivil war. Nobody wins. Uncivil war.
Sending a message we should already know. That we need to move on, and it's there's nothing civil about any war, and what's going on in America today is it's shameful, and Shamika capturing that, and what a powerful song, Shamika, you had so much great support on that song, and so, on other ones in the studio as well that we're going to play, but Jason Isbell. One of the movers and shakers of today's music scene, country rock, former member of the Drive-By Truckers. You had the Colonel himself, Steve Cropper of Stax Records, joining you, and Dwayne Eddy and Webb Wilder, and, of course, that tasty, tasty mandolin and dobro from two of the greatest string instrumentalists of all time, Sam Bush, Jerry Douglas. How did you recruit this superstar team to perform on this song?
You know, it happened organically. I mean, working with Will Kimbrough, he knows everybody. And the best part about musicians in Nashville, they just want to play music, man. And you call them up and you're like, look, I got this great song for you to play on. And they're like, sure, I'll be there. And they don't care about genre or anything. It's just all about the music. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. So, they, you know, we called and they came, you know. And like I said, Will Kimbrough is very well respected. Mm-hmm. A lot of people knew of me, even if they didn't know my music, but they knew of me, heard my name. So it just worked out perfectly.
Now, because this was recorded prior to COVID, were you actually privy to be in the studio with all these amazing talents at once, or were these called in the performances?
Yeah, no, I was able to be in with some for sure, because this was all before COVID, mm-hmm. So I got a chance to experience working with some of these guys, and it was great.
That you had Dwayne Eddy on there just blows my mind. That's a name I've not heard in so long. One of the pioneering rock guitar players. In fact, he did all styles of music, but I didn't know he was still active. I knew he was living, but I didn't know he was still active. Did you pull him out of retirement? How did that happen?
No, I mean, I still think he's doing stuff. He lives in the Nashville area, and I think he's still doing stuff. So that's what's nice about that area. You know, you can always work.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sweetie pie, too. Total sweetie pie.
I'd love to talk to him one day. I've been a fan of his for years. So many diverse styles. He's like a lot like Chet Atkins as far as guitar playing.
Yeah.
That's
a great way to describe
him. When this song was done and you guys sat and listened to the playback, what kind of response did you get from these players by saying, you know, they've got to have known by hearing it, this song was going to be a very important song in today's history, and that it will, of course, live on like so many of the great songs from different eras when there was turmoil going on. When you hit the playback and you guys sat and listened, what kind of feedback did you get?
I think we were all just happy, because when you're in a studio and you're working on this, we work so hard to build it and to make it exactly the way we want it. And when it moves us, that's when we know we did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all sitting there just like with our heads bowed and listening. And at moments we would just shake our head like, oh yeah, this is working. This is good. And then, you know, there's that moment when you start shedding the tears, and that's when you know, like, okay, it got me. It got me.
So
yeah.
If it gets you and it gets the guys that play it, it's got to get the listeners. When I first heard that, when Matt sent me an advance of the single to listen to, I really had shivers. It choked me up. It still chokes me up. I'm choked up now just listening to that. It's one of those moving songs. And an artist is blessed to get one song like that in their career. You've already had a few of those. Americans was a moving song. Like I said, that is one that gets tons of requests, and I think it impacts because you included everyone. It's a song of inclusion.
And that's
what we need.
You know, it was so important for me to put it out there that we are all Americans and all the things that make us Americans and what makes us wonderful, you know, is this huge melting pot of cultural diversity. It's like, that's what makes America what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's made up of. What's
your feedback been from the public that has heard this? The fact that, again, you're making a point, but you're not pointing a finger. You're just saying, look, people, haven't we learned by now? Let's just listen to this again and just do a little soul searching while you listen to it. That has so much respect for you from every race, every ethnicity, every culture, because you are just opening that window. You're showing that picture and saying, this is what it could be if we would just all grow up a little bit and understand that it ain't the paint job. It's what's inside.
Exactly. And that is what we hope to do with these records. It's
Are they getting
about,
it? Is the audience getting it?
I'm all about, I think they are. I mean, I get messages all the time from people who say, thank you. Thank you for that song. Thank you for that song.
Sounds like you have a party going on over there.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I get people all the time saying, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we needed, you know, thank you for bringing us together. And that's, you know, that's what I hope for. That's mm-hmm. what I hope for with these records.
You are the queen of the blues, officially, in Chicago. You have been christened that. I mean, I used to work and book with Coco, and I've worked with all the greats, with Alligator, going back to when Bruce first founded the label and booking artists. And you are certainly one of the most amazing all-around performers. And you are, of course, knee-deep in the blues. You are Johnny's daughter. But you're so much more than just a blues artist. And the last two albums have been more soul, more R&B than blues. Are we seeing an intentional shift, or are you still in your heart a blues artist?
Oh my God. I mean, I'm always going to be a blues artist, and I'm a proud blues singer, but I don't feel like being a blues singer limits me in any kind of way.
Okay.
You know, I feel like all of the different genres, we're all cousins. It's like, why can't I mess with you and you mess with me? We're all cousins.
Okay, I like that. How's Alligator been? Matt and the guys I work with over there are really beating the drum for you. I've got to think that they are just pushing you like all tomorrow. And of course, that's a label you've been with your whole life, and your dad was with them. So that's got to be like family as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been with Alligator for a long time. It is one big family, and they work super, super hard. I mean, they work hard, and I love that. We all work hard together.
What's next? I mean, obviously, this album just came out. It's fresh, and you're going to be working this for a while. But now that you've got these two very personal albums out there, do you have an idea where you want to go? Are we going to have a part three of the social consciousness of Shamika Copeland, or are we going to go in a different direction? What do you see coming?
Well, I don't know. With the way the world is right now, I'm definitely thinking trilogy.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see things changing a whole lot from now to when I make my next record. So I think we might end up having another record that's socially conscious.
Okay. Now, you were born into the music business, born into the blues. Johnny Copeland, of course, an incredible artist, was your dad. How was this something predestined? Was Johnny saying, okay, my baby girl is going to grow up and follow in my footsteps? Did he deter you and say, this is a hard life, honey? Or how did you fall into doing this? You could have had so many other careers, obviously, like anyone, but you chose to do this. What brought you to where you are now?
I'm sorry. Come again.
I was saying you were pretty much born into the music business and the blues, but like anyone, you could have chosen any path. I've got to wonder, did your dad, Johnny Copeland, say, you know, honey, this is a tough life. Maybe you should choose something else. Did he encourage you? Was this something you were basically due to inherit? What drew you to music and put you on the path to follow your dad and to find your own way?
Well, I fell in love with blues as a kid. I mean, I love the music. I never really wanted to be a performer because I was scared to death to be on stage in front of people. But eventually I fell in love with that. As I got older and became more secure in who I was, performing became more natural for me. But my dad knew. I mean, he knew from the day my mom was bringing me home from the hospital, the day they were bringing me home from the hospital, that I was going to be a blues singer. And ever since I started in this business, my main goal is to, my dad always said, be original, be original. And so my main goal is to do that and to show people how great this genre of music is. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been trying to do.
Did you first get on stage? You were talking about being fearful of being in front of an audience. Did you first get on stage with your dad? I know that, you know, so many offspring, progeny of music artists, Wayne Baker Brooks with Lonnie and of course, Mojo, the Muddy Waters offspring all were around their parents and would get up from time to time. Did Johnny bring you on stage and give you a taste? And if that was the case, were you hooked immediately?
I was not hooked immediately, but okay. Yes, I started going on stage when I was like 8 years old. But I wasn't hooked. I wasn't hooked because I was still very nervous.
One of the things, when I listen to you, I hear great artists of gospel. And you have a very strong gospel voice, like an Aretha, like a Ruth Brown, even a little bit of Mahalia, perhaps. Do you, and obviously you have a strong conscience and a strong soul and a strong spirit. Do you anticipate ever doing more of a gospel album, kind of a Staple Singer style?
You know, when I think of the Staple Singers, I think of, you know, just like civil rights music.
Okay.
Walk Until I Ride to me is that, you know. So I always do, I have elements of it because I love gospel music. I always have. I grew up listening to it. Would I ever sing, do a whole album of gospel songs? Probably not, because there's too many great gospel singers out there. But black female gospel singers.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not a whole lot of blues singers.
That is true. Well, that's what made me ask. Walk Until I Ride is so powerful. And again, your voice is so in tribute to so many of the great gospel female singers out there. I thought, wow, if she could do a whole album of that style and traditional gospel and new gospel, create new stuff. I mm-hmm. just think it would be amazing, and you would do so well on the gospel charts. Because
well, I appreciate you saying that, but you know, I've heard some of these women out here singing, and I would be like, oh no,
oh, you're selling yourself short there, Shamika.
I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. No.
Well, let's play another song for my listeners, and we'll be back a final time with you. Now, there's two that stand out for me, and I'll let you. We'll probably play them both before I sign off. But Apple Pie, and I'm not sure how to say it. Clotilda's on Fire, which is also incredibly moving. Which one would you like to play? And can you tell me a little bit of the story behind those?
Well, Clotilda was the last slave ship they found off the coast of Alabama. And they found her about 2 years ago. And 60 years after they abolished slavery, mm-hmm. they abolished it in 1806, they were still bringing bodies over here illegally. And so to hide what they were doing, they burned the ship to hide, you know, to get rid of the evidence. So they just found her. And when I say her, I mean the ship.
Right, right.
And I wanted to tell that story because my ancestors came over here on those ships. I'm 87% African, according to my DNA, from where that ship came from, the West Africa. And so I wanted to tell the story. But also, for me, the most important part of the song is that we're still living with her ghost. And I wanted to talk about systemic racism and what we're going through in this country. And, you know, it's very disheartening and it's very sad that we have to go through that even still now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's play that now then. And we'll come back to Apple Pie when we say goodbye. Clotilda's on Fire. You heard the story. Now listen to the words. This is Shamika Copeland off her new album, Uncivil War, now available on Alligator Records. You're listening to Midwest Beat on Lakeshore Public Radio.
The chains rattle, turn you into a slave, another piece of chattel. Across the seas, stormy waters, show no mercy. She was Satan's daughter, born to steal, bodies to sell. She had her own special place in hell. Her morning song was the crack of a whip. Once you survived, died a long time ago. Most of them buried out at Old Plateau. But the pain and the memory will never go away. Her spirit still lives by the shores of the bay. Folks. like a town, who rose from the ashes of a sad history to stand unchained, proud and free.
Clotilda's on Fire, opening track of Uncivil War. Shamika Copeland, Alligator Records released it. A little touch of history there, and Shamika is my guest. How did you hear, Shamika, about Clotilda? I was unfamiliar that this had been discovered, and I thought I was on top of things. How did you find out about it? Why wasn't it more relevant in the headlines?
You know, nobody wants to talk about, you know, old sad history, but I definitely saw it quite a bit in the headlines, actually.
Okay.
And I was just so interested in it, and I just couldn't, I was like, oh my gosh, you know. And then Jason Isbell's from Alabama, Will Kimbrough, who produced the record, he's from Alabama, so they loved the idea of doing this song.
Powerful. Powerful song.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke of the amazing talents that you have on this album. One of them, again, one of the most amazing guitar players ever, the Colonel Steve Cropper. Stax Records, he's recorded with all the great R&B singers of history, practically. Are you going to be working more with Steve? He produced The Soul Truth, and now he's back in your world again, in your wheelhouse, with this album. Do you see more of a relationship building with Steve on future projects?
Oh man! As long as Steve is around in Nashville and we're recording, he knows he can come on down and play, and he always is willing to do that. So, oh yeah, I'm sure we will work with him.
Excellent. Tell me about the Orphan Brigade. Orphan Brigade is credited with providing some background vocals on this, and I am completely unfamiliar with that.
Oh man, those guys are really, really great, and. I was not in the studio when they were in the studio, but really, really talented. So I was so happy to get them on.
Okay. Are they from Nashville?
Yep.
Okay.
That's the nice thing about recording in Nashville.
Everybody's there.
Everybody.
You are with Alligator Records. Your last two albums, incredible releases, and you started with Alligator. You took a slight detour there and went with Telarc. What brought you back to Alligator?
Well, I did four records with Alligator, went to Telarc, and my first record with Telarc didn't come out for 4 years, and it was such a wonderful time for me because it was just a time of growth. I went through a lot. I mean, I went to Iraq and Kuwait, performed for our troops there. That changed my life. And then, you know, ended up getting married and going through just life things.
Okay.
Because when I was making records before, I didn't have time to do anything. I was making records and touring. That was it. And so I was able to live a little bit. And that's when I did Never Going Back. And it was just a nice departure for me. I was working with Oliver Wood, who was not a blues guy at all, and it was nice because I had come from the whole blues shouter type way of thinking. And from him I learned that you can move people with the subtleties in your voice just like you can with the power in your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I know that from other singers, but I just didn't think I could do it. And so he kind of forced that out of me. So I was working with Oliver Wood, and it was just a wonderful change for me and time for growth. And then we did two more records together. And during all that time, I was growing. But the third one that I did with Oliver, we came back to Alligator because I was doing my own records. But Bruce heard the record, and he liked it. And so he wanted to put it out.
Okay. Was that Outskirts?
Yes.
Okay.
See, I had to think about that.
One of your records that I have not been able to find, and I've tried to gather all of your stuff because I've really become a fan, and that is 33 and a Third. I cannot find a copy of that to save my life. Is it not available?
No, it's available. It's available.
Okay.
Don't you worry. We're going to get you one.
All right. Vinyl. Are you going to be doing more vinyl releases? Vinyl, of course, is back again. And I know that Alligator has done limited vinyl. A lot of the old stuff is still out on vinyl. But do you see yourself, are you a fan of vinyl, first of all?
I am a fan of vinyl. I'm not a fan of traveling with vinyl. I mean, I don't, when you're traveling with vinyl, you need to be on bus tours. I don't tour that way. So it's kind of hard for me to bring it to the people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't do a whole lot of vinyl because of it.
Okay. Well, one of the things I might suggest for future when you get back on the road, you know, there's a lot of us record stores popping up now. I've got two here in Indiana. Tell us you're coming to town. We'll order extra, and then you can come and sign records at the store.
Well, I would do that anytime. I spent my life as a kid in the record store. That's where I was. If you couldn't find me, that's where I was.
All right. Is there anything we haven't talked about, Shamika, that you would like to let people know? I still want to grab Apple Pie and a 45 and get that out there. That's another song, especially given what's going on in Chicago. Everywhere, but especially in Chicago lately with the gunfire. I want to play that for folks. But is there anything we haven't talked about you'd like to let people know?
No, I'm really excited about this record. I'm proud of it, and I just want people to give it a good, honest listen.
All right. Well, tell me about Apple Pie and a 45. Was it inspired by the gun violence that, of course, Chicago is revered for? I shouldn't say revered, but known for? Infamous for?
Well, not necessarily that. I mean, actually, what bothered me was the kids getting shot up in that school, the church getting shot up, people getting shot up at concerts, places where people always felt safe before. And, you know, nobody's ever felt safe on the streets of, you know, in bad neighborhoods. But people always felt safe in churches where, you know, a kid went in and decided to shoot up a church. And then, you know, so it was, that's why I wanted to do this song. Something needs to be done about it. And, once again, it's just one of those things that I just want to put out there for the people, a little food for thought.
Right. And, of course, it's not getting any better. Guns are more prevalent everywhere. I mean, Chicago's a no-gun city, and look what's going on. So you can't say no guns, yes guns. I mean, just put them away. Learn to talk. Learn to converse. Learn to be people. We're not going back to the Wild West in the old days. So maybe this song will drive that point home. ShamikaCopeland.com is where you can find everything you want to know about this lady. There's tons of stuff here. There's pictures. There's video. There's information on the music. You can contact Alligator through there. ShamikaCopeland.com. Visit there. And thank you for visiting with us, Shamika. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me.
I hope you get on the road soon, and you can perform out here for us. And until then, stay safe and keep your family safe, and God bless you.
Right back at you.
All right. ShamikaCopeland.com, and again, the new album is called Uncivil War. Alligator Records, the home of the biggest home for blues today and forever, celebrating many decades. Bruce Iglauer's vision that started out so many years ago and has come to fruition so many years later. And this is one of the latest. This is Apple Pie and a 45. Shamika Copeland, stay with us.
in ammo, sipping lemonade. Babies in the backyard, tossing hand grenades. Grandpa shooting dinner, some possum and some squirrel. Last night they ended up shooting our neighbor's baby girl. Everybody's so upset, every person in the town. But that can't bring a life back after it shut down. Give me apple pie and a 45, AK-47 with a shake on the side. Don't bother running 'cause you can't hide. Give me apple pie and a 45. We go to church on Sunday like the Lord told us to, till the day a madman shot up all the pews. The blood flowed like water, just like cherry wine. The local undertaker said, you have to wait in line. 17 souls sent to heaven, 17 bodies to the grave, one man sent to prison.
Apple Pie and a 45, new music, Shamika Copeland from the Uncivil War album, and another song that just strikes a nerve with social consciousness. This lady, boy, she can take the headlines and rip your heart out with the things that are going on. And to find out that this album was actually recorded before a lot of the things we've been seeing unfold in Chicagoland and around the world, it just kind of blows my mind. I know she's gifted, but maybe she's gifted in another way to be able to pick these songs and put them out so that they're ready for us to digest when we're needing them most. I normally don't editorialize a lot about the artists that we have, but she is something else, and her music really touches souls. We're going to send that one out to everybody who has been impacted by gun violence. Apple Pie in a 45. So many kids in the headlines. It's just unbelievable. All these babies, all different ages. And my heart goes out as a parent to the parents and the families that suffer these losses through no fault of their own. There's so many kids that are just being shot, and they're not even part of anything. They're just sitting on their porch or in their bedroom or walking or riding in the car, and it's got to stop. Take that song to heart. Apple Pie and a 45. Shamika Copeland is not only popular with me, obviously. She has been awarded so many awards and accolades over her career, but most recently in the last few years, she's really gotten on the radar in a huge way. And for those that are fans of PBS, and I'm sure you are because you're listening here to the radio equivalent, NPR, PBS NewsHour Weekend did a feature on her. And that happened in there, that aired originally on Sunday, January 26th of this year. So if you're more interested in seeing more and learning more about Shumeika, Google PBS NewsHour Weekend and look for her episode. And again, it originally aired Sunday, January 26th. Kudos to PBS for, again, giving her own episode. She deserves it. An amazing singer, an amazing performer, an amazing human being, a woman with soul, a woman with character. Let's do another song. And I'm going to dedicate this one to her late great father, Texas blues guitarist and former Alligator recording artist, Mr. Johnny Copeland. And again, getting back to her as not just a blues singer, but R&B, a little gospel tinge in there, and certainly some rock influences. But this one has blues in the title, and her daddy was a bluesman, and she is a blues woman, as she was so proud to say. So our final song today from Shumeika's new album is Give God the Blues, and who could do it better than her? I'm Lounges. I'm out of here. Adios.
I don't hate the Jews. God don't hate the Christians, but we all give God the blues. God don't hate the atheist, the Buddhist, or the Hindus. God loves everybody, but we all give God the blues. God ain't no Republican, he ain't no Democrat, he ain't even independent. God's above all that. Bigger than religion, he's got a better plan. The sun said God's gone fishing for the soul of every man.